Jesus himself taught that, hey, there's coming a day when all that are in their graves are going to hear my voice and come forth to the resurrection of life and the resurrection of judgment. But eventually someone says to me, what about near-death experiences? What about people who have near-death experiences? You know, they die and they come back. My first response, naturally, is that they aren't dead. Not really. Is it? Well, yeah, the doctors say they're dead. Let me ask you this question. Will the doctors then also say that they have raised the dead? The doctors cannot raise the dead. The dead cannot be raised by medicine. There's nothing that can raise the dead. Death has a stronghold. And those who have near-death experiences, there's a reason we call it near-death. Because they're not really dead. They're close to death. Their heart may stop. But there comes a certain point at which you can't be brought back. Medicine can't help you. That's when you're really dead. And so we don't really have any modern examples of really dead experiences. I don't want to hear about near-death experiences. I want to hear about real death experiences. And the truth is, these people who have near-death experiences, what happens is they lose consciousness and they begin to dream. And maybe their hearts stop, their brainwaves stop, and then they revive them and they dream. And then when they return to consciousness, they have this dream. And all these different things, yeah, people have similar experiences because people have similar thought patterns. I mean, I've dreamt about flying. Other people have dreamt about flying. What's that say? Just the commonality of human hearts and human minds, the things they think about. There are certain dreams. You know, the running away, really, you're trying to run away, right? But you can't run fast enough. Or how about the one where your teeth are breaking, where you grind your teeth and they break in your mouth? I mean, not everyone experiences the same dreams, but people experience different dreams. And in some near-death experiences, they don't really bring these out, but children will die, and they'll see Santa Claus. And there's all kinds of different things. And people are told what they want to hear, or what they're ready to hear. I mean, they could be, when you're unconscious, you could be susceptible to all kinds of spirits. I've had a demonic attack in my sleep. At least I took it to be demonic. It was an evil spirit. Not necessarily personified, but an evil spirit come to terrify me or whatever. You know, I'm not going to make a big deal about it because I think these things are very common, but we just don't recognize them properly as what they are. These sort of mental, psychic experiences, meaning a psychic. The word for soul in the New Testament is psuche, where we get psychic from. Spirit, we use pneuma. And when I say spiritual, I mean of things that go on in the mind. The world of the mind is a spiritual world. It is a spiritual world. The mind is a spiritual world. You know, we think of it as things we see and things we hear. But people without sight and without ears also have mind. And what's in their head? Do they hear voices in their head? No, they're not. They don't hear sound. You know, I can hear music in my head right now. I can imagine, Beethoven or whatever. You know, I can just put it into my mind. I can hear it in my head. I can hear a full orchestra. I can bring that from memory. Now, people who have never heard anything can't do that. But in their mind, there are thoughts. And they are very real. And these are, and when you take away the sound and the perception aspect of it, the way we perceive our thoughts, you strip all that away and it's just, you realize that it's a spirit. It's spirit. And so, while we are dead, our spirits return to God. The life returns to God, but that's not us. Because the Apostle Peter says that David is not ascended into heaven, but his grave is with us to this day. The person David is not in heaven. Now, I said, why did you mention that the spirit returns to God? That seems out of place. Because I know people are thinking that. They're thinking, well, Paul, but in Ecclesiastes, it says the spirits return to God who gave it. The spirit is not the man. John came in the spirit and power of Elijah. But he wasn't Elijah. He was Elijah that was for to come in the sense of the prophecy, but he was not the prophet Elijah, the man. He came in the spirit of Elijah. And so, my spirit is the life that is in me. But it isn't me. And that the life that I have returns to God who gave it. But I can expire. And I do and will. And I will wait for God to raise me from the dead, because that is my only hope. I do not have an immortal soul. No one does. And so when we die, we enter into this death state and wait the resurrection. Jesus Christ stepped forward and raised this man from the dead. The reason this is important to me is because it is one of the foundational doctrines of Christianity, the resurrection of the dead. And it is so perverted in our modern way of thinking about life and death that you can't even really understand the scriptures, because everything is so twisted and wrong. Near-death experiences are nothing more than the dreams of those who haven't completely died, who were saved from a very close brush with death. But real death, it will not let go by medicine or electric shocks. When people are dead, they're really dead. And also about near-death, why would God take you to heaven and then be like, oops, the physicians came and took you back? And they say, well, those people, they don't have any brainwave activity. It doesn't matter. I don't think that the spirit is limited to the brainwaves. Yeah, they're having a spiritual experience, but it's no different than a dream. Because when your spirit truly returns to God, and that connection between your soul and your spirit is severed, your lights go out. Your lights go out. And there's no more thoughts. I sincerely believe that. And I know that the scriptures, the New Testament and the Old, teach it. Jesus Christ raises the dead. That is our Christian faith. As we believe that God raised him from the dead, so we believe that he will raise us up also from the dead. And this is our hope. So at the performing of the miracle, obviously when the dead are raised, and this was person that, not a person like the young girl who was sick and had just died in other accounts, but this is someone who they're carrying off to bury. And they were all quite certain he was dead. And Jesus just coming on him by chance. They're like, wow, you know, all these people were following him as it's happened. And here comes this dead man being carried out, her only son. And she's a widow. And then Christ raises him. But as Christ said to the Jews, you know, there were many widows in the days of Elijah, but unto one only was he sent. There were many dead in Jesus' days, and he didn't raise them all. It was to prove something. It was to testify of himself that there was a great prophet, one whom we should place our faith in, one who had power over life and death, over sin and righteousness. Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus Christ who lives and sits at the right hand of God.